This message by Dr. Timothy Smith is a wonderful example of how the doctrine of holiness, compassion toward persons in need, and the winning of souls connects. This message is taken from a presentation Smith made to the Christian Holiness Association. Smith had a multifaceted ministry. He was an elder in the Church of the Nazarene and pastored several churches, including the campus church at Eastern Nazarene College. He was a distinguished historian who taught at Johns Hopkins University. He wrote the first volume of our denominational history, Called Unto Holiness, The Story of the Nazarenes, and the earlier epic book, Revivalism and Social Reform, in mid-19th century.
My mother became a minister of the gospel when she was 40 years of age, and her sixth and seventh child were born, twin girls. And Esther died in the doctor's arms almost the moment she was born, and Mother turned her face to the wall and prayed that God would spare my sister Ruth, said, "Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do, Lord, if you'll just spare my daughter." And in a few weeks, the Lord laid it upon her that she must be a minister of the gospel. She said, "Well, I've got a congregation right here in my house." He said, "No, I want you to go pastor." And my father, bless his heart, didn't really understand about women's liberation, because she had always been free. And it was never a question with him as to whether Mother should do what she felt the Lord would have her do, but how he could help her. And so he went over to Dr. Chalfant and said, "We've got to give Delona a church." And Dr. Chalfant laughed a little and said, "Well, I've got one dying up in Westville. Let's try that." And Dad said, "I'm sure she'll take it." There were two people the first service Sunday morning, and one left before preaching. It was a little Catholic town. Mama went up there and preached away. And she went to calling in the neighborhood around Old Olivet College. I remember when she found the Hubbard family, a child dying on a pile of leaves in a corner, not a bed in the house, and a drunken father. She knocked on the door one day, and they let her in. Mr. Hubbard was there. He said, "Could you do anything for my child?" She said, "Sure, I'll take her to town." Got her a room and got a nurse from the college and nursed the child to health. Went back to Mr. Hubbard and said, "I want you to come to church. My church out in Yankee Branch." He said, "Miss Smith, I'm 40 years of age, and I've never been inside the door of a church in my life." She said, "Well, next Sunday's the time to start." He came that morning and came that night. Mother preached, and she'd hardly finished the sermon until he and his wife came to the altar, and Mother knelt down behind the pulpit and buried her face in the chair and prayed, "Lord, you're going to have to perform a miracle. This man has no background, no understanding," and she was just interceding with the Lord in prayer, but the rest of us knew what was happening. Here was Willis Hubbard. He had sort of leaned back and was addressing the Lord. "Lord, I know the holiness people don't drink liquor, and if you'll only save me, I'll lay it all aside. Lord, I know the holiness people don't smoke, and I'll give up my tobacco if you'll only save my soul. Lord, you know the holiness people don't drink coffee, and if you can just save me, I'll give it up." My father leaned over and patted my mother on the back, says, "Mom, you can stop praying. He's already passed you." And in 4 or 5 minutes, here was that poor and broken and impoverished man walking the aisles with both arms outstretched as though he had been born and reared in a Methodist camp meeting, praising God for saving grace. Amen. Mom brought Jane to our house to be housekeeper. That was a joke. Jane, the oldest daughter, she couldn't keep house for nothing. She couldn't even keep herself clean, the mother taught her. Dear child, but we knew Mother loved her, and we all understood, and she became a part of our family. And in the next few years, Mother helped to nurse that family into responsibility and into a livelihood. I never followed them very much. I heard a few things, but Mark Moore asked me to come back to Danville for a holiness convention 20 years later. And as I sat in the pulpit ready to preach, I looked up in the balcony, and there was a whole line of people that looked vaguely familiar. I didn't know who they were, but I just preached away. And after the sermon, they came charging down and introduced themselves one after another. They were the Hubbard family. High school and college graduates, one of them a professional person. And I just cried. That's what I call social reform that works. Oh, not that Mother didn't care about structural reform. She did. She knew that she had to preach against injustice and impoverishment. She cared about laws that exploited the poor. I won't tell you all the story. Mama was a New Deal Democrat. And that doesn't really matter. But you see, she knew there was no kind of social reform that would be effective except the grace of God should touch human hearts. And there is no touch of the grace of God in human hearts in sanctifying grace that doesn't change the social situation around those persons and make them care and commit themselves to God. Late in life, when Mother was pastor in Newport News, Virginia, she always had two churches. In the old days, it was to have a place to land when the first one got so big they needed a man for a pastor. She learned her lesson. After a while, she said, "Son, we don't change pastors anymore. We just change congregations. I organize a new one nearby and let the folks who want a man for a pastor go start it. I just stay put." But she did have a second church. This one was a mission. I heard about it for a year and went down to visit her. Said, "Mom, can I go to your mission this afternoon with you?" In Newport News. She said, "No, son, we don't allow any white folks in my church but me." And I said, "Mother, you taught me my sense of racial justice. There was no difference between white and black. South Carolina born that you and Daddy were. And how do you talk like that?" She said, "Son, you don't understand." She said, "There are lots of black churches in Newport News who are dealing with black people who are kind of middle class or working class. But," she said, "I got concerned about the black people who are so broken and so poor and so beat by life that even the black preachers don't pay any attention to them." And she said, "They accept me as some kind of a figure from another world." But she said, "If I brought you or any other white people, suddenly the racial issue would become primary in their minds." And she said, "You know I believe in racial equality and justice," but she said, "the first thing my folks have got to have is the grace of God in their hearts straightening out their lives." And I accepted that a little unwillingly, but I reflected on it and decided she had her priorities straight. Oh, my brothers and sisters, preach and live the gospel of Christian holiness.
Amen.
It is redeeming grace. Preach it in the context of the law of the Lord, the law which is life for us, spiritual life, Old and New Testament alike. Jesus said, "I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." And in the richness of all the ethical affirmations of the new covenant, of the Sermon on the Mount, and the meaning of the kingdom of God, preach it with hope for the future of the world and the nation and the nations of the world. We are, I know, in a dark day morally, but we are also standing on the threshold of the greatest day of opportunity for the Christian faith in human history.
Amen.
And the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh is upon us, my brothers and sisters. And not for one moment would I suggest any pulling back from our commitment to social righteousness, to liberation from oppression and justice and all of the rest. But the biblical way, the Wesleyan way to sustain that kind of social ministry is to preach the gospel of sanctifying grace that reaches individual hearts with transforming power.